You can grab a seat. We are closing out our 3 weeks of this session of We Are the Church, and this session specifically speaking about generosity. So some of you are probably like, thank God this is the last day we got to talk about my money. And that's okay, but we're going to talk about it one more time, so I hope you're ready. Let me ask you a question. We talked about cash last week, but we're going to talk about it a little bit different today. What can you get with a $10 bill? Two fives, 10 ones. Can you get much with a $10 bill? As of Thursday when I checked, and it might have changed since then, you could get, I think it was 3.5 gallons of gasoline. That'll get you, what, about 80 miles nowadays? Most of us probably 80, 85 miles, depending on what you drive. I could probably only get about 60 miles in my truck. So that's not a whole lot. That doesn't get you a whole lot of places. You could go to a matinee movie, as long as you don't want popcorn. You can get a tub of popcorn or movie tickets, basically what you could do, for the same money. And you can't take a friend or a date. You got to go by yourself. So that's not a whole lot you can do with $10. You can get a month of Disney Plus for just a little bit less than $10. But you can't. You got to get the one that shows ads. You can't get the one without ads. So as long as you're okay with getting bombarded with ads, you can do that with your $10. I guess that's a little bit better than a movie because you get a whole month of entertainment. Or maybe you're hungry. You can get one Chick-fil-A sandwich meal with a medium fry and a medium drink, and you'll have about 25 cents left over. I hope you don't have a family because that's all you can get with $10. So who would say $10 is not getting you very far? It doesn't. Now, how many of those things for $10 that you just realize that you can buy, but you can't really get much out of it, does that really move the needle for you as far as your joy goes? I mean, Chick-fil-A is pretty good, right? You know, that might move the needle for about 10 minutes, and then I just want another Chick-fil-A sandwich. I don't know about you. And by the way, you can't buy the one with pimento cheese on it. That'll cost you like $3 more, but it's worth it. Trust me, it's delicious. You know, you go to a movie, that might buy you, what, two? Unless it's a Scorsese movie, which apparently is 3.5 hours now. I saw that this week. It'll buy you a couple hours worth of joy. I mean, it can get you a whole month of Bluey on Disney Plus. I guess that brings some people joy. My wife loves Bluey. She cries through Bluey. Does anybody else cry through Bluey? It is a good show, but I've never cried during Bluey. It doesn't move the needle a whole lot as far as our joy goes. It doesn't, $10, I mean, it's not going to bring you any long-term satisfaction, is it? I mean, again, Chick-fil-A. But it's gone in just a couple of minutes. It doesn't move the needle on joy, doesn't really move the needle on satisfaction. Now, does it draw you any closer to God, any of those things? Probably not, unless it's Jesus chicken at Chick-fil-A. Again, we can go back, but they don't even serve that on Sundays, so, you know. It doesn't do a whole lot for us. $10, there's not a whole lot of impact that we can get in our lives with $10. There's not a whole lot of impact you could go out right now in this community and make. You couldn't make a whole lot of impact with a $10 bill. It just doesn't go very far, especially in today's world. $10 is not much. There's not a whole lot we can do with such a little amount. But when we think about the idea of the church, Jesus redefines what we can do with just a little. He redefines, and you may remember if you were here last week, how Jesus took just a couple of loaves of bread and a few fish and he fed 15,000 people, 5,000 men and their families. So he redefines what you can do with a little, but on our own, $10 is not going much of anywhere. The impact Jesus can do, it will be greater on you than on anyone else. When we are generous people, the impact that he makes on our hearts is greater than any impact we may have in our community. And most of us don't even realize that. But that's why in Acts chapter 20, they quote Jesus. Paul quotes Jesus and he says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." But do we really believe that? I mean, Christmas is coming. Who has a really long Christmas list? Yeah, I know you do, Braxton. You've told me. It's really not that long. It's one thing, but it's expensive. So if somebody wants to buy him a PS5, you are more than welcome to, because we are not. You know, I was a youth pastor for 10 years, worked in youth ministry for years before that, and we every year I took the youth to camp. We would go off somewhere to go to a youth camp in the summertime. And camp's kind of pricey. I don't know if you've ever been a parent and sent your kid to a youth camp, but when I was doing it, you know, 10 years ago, gosh, that's a long time. Time goes fast. When I was doing it, though, you know, $275 to $300 to go to camp per kid. I'm sure it costs more than that nowadays. But a parent who had two kids or three kids, you're looking at $600, $1,000 to get your kids to camp. It's really difficult sometimes for parents to get their kids to camp. And I remember one year we had a couple of kids who they weren't going to be able to go to camp. Things were just too tight at home. And I was just talking to some people around our church, and somebody, this lady, stepped up. Her name was, we're going to call her Janice because I didn't get her permission to share this story. But she said, God's blessed me. All my kids are grown. I just want to bless somebody. What do you need? She didn't know kids needed help with camp. And she just came to me and said, what do you need? And I said, well, actually, there's a couple of kids that need to go to camp. She said, don't worry about it. She wrote a check right there on the spot, paid for their camp. So I go and I talk to the parents, and the parents, you know, they're stressed out because their kids have been to camp before. They know how this could be. I mean, it could be a life-changing experience for some kids. And it really was this time where kids would go and connect with God and come back on fire for the Lord. And they're like, we really want our kids to go, but I can't get them there. There's no way. And I said, well, good news. Someone has stepped up and paid your kids away to camp. It was like, she didn't cry, but tears almost came in her eyes. It was more of a relief. She's like, I finally don't have to worry about this. I get to send my kids to camp. And then we told the student they get to go, and it was like a kid in a candy store. It was like Santa Claus on Christmas. They thought this was the best gift ever. They were so excited that they got to go to camp. It was such a blessing on that family. Who would like to be blessed that way? Not as many as I thought. I thought that'd be a unanimous vote. I would like to be blessed that way. I mean, when someone sees your need and they just take care of it and you don't even know who it is, what a blessing that is. But you know who was really blessed? Janice. She was so blessed by that she started investing in other things, and she actually donated a large amount of money to plant a church in another country just because she was getting so blessed by this. Do you really believe that it is greater to give than to receive? She really believed that. She had received, now she was getting to give. Do you really believe it is greater to give than to receive? A lot of times, generosity doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for us when we are struggling, especially, to give to another cause or to another person or to another organization. Generosity, it doesn't always make sense. I think we've shared with you, we've kind of based this series on a series from Life Church, and they have this saying, we actually use it here quite often as well, but that we will lead the way with irrational generosity, where it just doesn't make sense sometimes to be generous. Sometimes generous beyond the means that we feel like we can really be generous. It doesn't make sense unless you really believe it is better to give than it is to receive. Everyone gives at some point. We all, even people who are the stingiest people on the face of this earth, everyone will give at some point. All of you, I'm sure, have been givers at some point. Everyone gives, but not everyone is generous. We've talked about that for the last couple of weeks. It's very different to be generous than to be a giver. They're two entirely different things. Typical givers give from what is left, from their overflow, from the leftovers. This is what I got left over. I can give this amount out of what I have left over. But generous givers give from all that they have, even if it means cutting into what's left over. It's that scarcity and abundance cycle that we've talked about for these last couple of weeks. The scarcity cycle is that we have some resources, some finances, and we consume something. We see something we want, and we go and buy it. And then we use that. So we lack. We run out of it, and there's none of it left. So we have fear because I just ran out of what I thought was going to help me out or to bring me joy or satisfaction. I need more. So we consider more and end up consuming again to where we use it and lack again. Then you have the abundance cycle. The abundance cycle is God has provided us with resources, so we give. Just out of the abundance, because all that we have is provided by God, so we give. And when we give, we see God do something with it. Not always in our life, maybe it's other people's lives, but God multiplies what we give. And when we see God use that, our faith increases. And we're like, this can go a whole lot further than a Chick-fil-A sandwich. So we give more. We make plans to give more. And God multiplies it. And our faith increases. And we give more. To be a generous giver is what a Christian should be. And generous givers have an abundance mindset, knowing that God has provided all that we need. He will take care of all of our needs. Maybe not all your wants, but He will take care of all of our needs. Christians should be generous givers. So how do we become a generous giver? Well, the first step is that we give spontaneously. Spontaneous giving is kind of the entry point to becoming a generous giver. That's how most of us give. Most of us, when we see a need, we'll go and meet the need if we can. And maybe it's a disaster relief drive. Maybe there's been a hurricane or a tornado or an earthquake or a flood, and there's a need. So we give to that need to get, so that people can go and take care of the needs that are happening in that specific location. Maybe it is someone you know of who's in specific need. Maybe a car is broken down or there's a bill that has to be paid and they don't have the money to pay it. So you give to that need and help that person or that family meet that need. The recent example that we had here was the backpack drive. That was spontaneous giving. We asked you one Sunday morning, hey, we've got all these backpacks. They're going to go to kids for Christmas. Will you pack them full of gifts so that we can bless some families with Christmas? And you all blew it away. We asked for 25 backpacks. We got 39 backpacks. That is an example of spontaneous giving. In Luke chapter 10, we see a great example of this. It's a very famous passage. You probably know the passage if you've been around church much. If not, just kind of some background. It's the story that we know as the Good Samaritan. And there's a Jewish man who's traveling up a road, and while he's traveling, some robbers come up, and they beat the living daylights out of him, take everything he has, and leave him laying on the road for dead. And as they leave him laying on the road for dead, the religious people walk by, the priests, and they see him there. They do nothing. Temple workers walk by. They see him there. They do nothing. These are the church people. They see this man laying there beat up, and they do nothing to help him. That probably, like most of us do, we see him and we're like, wonder what he did to cause that situation. I wonder how he got himself there. And we continue walking. But this Samaritan walks up. And the Samaritan, if you don't know much about the time, Samaritans were despised by the Jewish people. So they shouldn't be helping Jewish people because Jewish people, they just want to kill each other, basically. They don't have nothing to do with each other. And this Samaritan walks by and he sees that man laying there, knowing he's a Jewish guy, and he walks up to him and helps him. He cleans up his wounds. He bandages him. Has compassion on the man. He treats him. And then he can't just leave him there. So he picks him up, helps him up, takes him to a place to stay, a hotel or an inn, and gets him a place to stay. And that should have been enough. I mean, that was a lot of effort, but he goes above and beyond that. In verse 35 of Luke chapter 10, it says, the next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Just a spontaneous gift because he saw a need and he wanted to meet the need. I used to work for a guy years ago who was that way. And I remember a guy comes into our store that we had and he had no place to stay that night. And most of us are like, I'm not getting snowed on this guy. He takes him to a hotel, puts his credit card down and says, however many nights he needs, just put it on that card, I'll take care of it. How many of us would do that? It's this spontaneous giving whenever we see a need that has to be met. I remember at our old church, there was this young couple who were struggling. They had financial issues, like tons of financial issues. They had kids at home that they were struggling to meet the needs of the kids. And because of the struggle that they were having financially and some other things going on, it was causing marriage issues for them. Like they were on the brink. This marriage was probably not going to last. And word kind of got around that they were struggling with paying a utility bill. Their electric was going to get shut off. So there were some families who heard about it. Without saying anything to the couple, they paid the utility bill. And then they found out the need was much bigger than just a utility bill. They needed more to get back on their feet. So people in the church stepped up just giving to the need. And because of that, this family had that pressure taken off of them. They ended up getting couples counseling. Their marriage is strong today. They actually, the guy, the husband in this marriage had just got saved when all this was happening. He was barely a Christian. And now he's a leader in their church. Because people met a need, showed him love, and he didn't run away like he wanted to. You never know. Spontaneous giving is important. We need to give to needs when we see them. And most of you do. Backpacks, you took them up before we had time to even finish the announcement. I had to buy more backpacks. Spontaneous giving is important. It meets needs. It makes an impact. But if that is the only way we give, we are limiting the impact of the resources God has blessed us with. It's just the beginning. That's just the first step of becoming a generous giver. As we become spontaneous givers and get used to giving, we need to start giving strategically. We need to have a plan to give. I can't tell you how many times through the years I've heard people in church say, I just wish that I could give more. Craig Groeschel says this, good news, you can. Well, no, I can't. My money's all gone at the end of the month. Well, when you plan for it, you can give. If you have a strategic giving plan, you can give. Everyone really has a plan for giving. Most of them are just terrible. My giving plan used to be terrible. It was whatever's left, I'll give of that. We don't have good giving plans. We give from our leftovers, if there are any leftovers. And if some of you are probably like me and Christy were, there were no leftovers more months than there were leftovers. The giving was sparse for us. But Jesus followers, we are strategic givers. That's why we, as a church here at Northview, that's why we believe in the tithe. We believe that the tithe is strategic giving. It is the first 10% of what God's blessed us with. And that's key. It's the first 10%. It is giving from our first and our best, not the leftovers. It is this plan that we put God first in all areas of our life. And maybe you have areas of your life where you're like, I put God first in that, but we don't in our finances. Why do we separate that area of life? Because the tithe is an act of worship. We have to be strategic in it. In Isaiah 32:8, it says this, generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. Maybe your version says noble people. They're all talking about the same thing. Generous people plan to do what is generous. We have a plan in place so that we can follow through on God's command to be generous people. You have a plan. Every single one of you in this room have a plan. Most of us, our plan is to consume. That's how I've lived most of my life. Plans to consume. We think about, I really need to make this improvement to my home, or I really want to do this, or Braxton, I really want a PS5. We have these plans to consume. And then we consume, so we make more plans to consume. That's a wise thing to do, to be honest with you. When you make plans for big purchases and to consume things, that's called a budget. It's a wise thing to do. You should do that. But we totally miss the boat when we don't have a plan for giving. When we just approach giving with our leftovers, we are not being generous. We are just giving of what is left. That isn't generosity. That's just giving. We are not consumers, as we say a lot. We are contributors. We aren't just here to receive from the church. We're here to give to the mission financially with our time, our talents, our abilities. We aren't just consumers. Christy and I, we don't talk about how much we give, and we don't want to talk about how much we give, but we do want to lead by example. We plan to give. It is a part of our budget. And we make sure that it's part of our budget because we put it on auto draft. You know, it comes out before we can say no. We plan for it. And because we plan for it, we've been able to increase our giving over the years. But I'll be honest, we weren't always on board with giving. We weren't always on board with tithing. We believed in the tithe, we just didn't believe we were supposed to do it. We thought other people would take care of those things. And maybe when we got older, we'd take care of those things. But a few years into our marriage, we're at a church service and the pastor's preaching on giving. And of course, we're like everyone in here is, like, I wish he'd hurry so I can leave and not have to hear about this. But we were convicted during that time. Well, Christy was convicted during that time. I was convicted, but not as much as Christy. And we began tithing. Our tithe was not a biblical tithe at that time. There's no way we could have given 10% and paid our bills. So we started small, but then we were convicted that we were supposed to tithe 10%. We started giving 10%, some months not knowing, if we give this, is the house payment getting paid this month? At some points during that time, the house payment got pushed off a little bit. But we gave. Now, there were times where we weren't faithful, so we stopped. But God would always convict us and bring it back to us. And we made a commitment to tithe. And we have made that commitment ourselves for at least the last 12 or 15 years, I would guess. We give off the top. And every year we've been able to give a little bit more and give to special offerings. And this isn't about us. It's not about anything me and Christy do. I'm not going to even tell you how much we give to the church. But because we have that plan and it's in our budget, this year we were able to up our giving 33% over what we gave last year. Now, 33% for us is not as much as it is for some of you all. But we had a plan to give. And we want to lead the way in generosity and be the example for the rest of our church. And it makes a huge difference in our lives. We give first. And we give because Jesus gave. But we don't give out of just a religious response. We give because He gave everything for us. So we give back to Him just as a thank you. And no, He doesn't need our money. But He takes our finances and He does something great with it that we could never do on our own. Generous people, Christians are generous, have a plan to give. Do you have a strategy for your giving? Do you tithe? It starts there. We have to get on board with giving. That starts with spontaneous giving, and we have to be strategic about our giving. And then as you grow in your giving, it moves to this place where you are giving sacrificially, where it hurts to give sometimes. In the book of Mark, Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 41, we read this. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow was given more than all the others who were making contributions. For they give a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. You know, I read that passage and it kind of hits me when I read it. First off, it's kind of creepy when you think about it. Jesus was watching how much people were giving. It just struck me because I don't pay attention to what you all give. I really don't. I see some of your gifts, but there's no record. I have no idea. There is a record, not on my computer, but I don't know what you give. I don't need to know what you give. But Jesus was watching. He was paying attention to what everyone was giving. It mattered to Jesus. When we talk about how, you know, maybe money shouldn't be spoken about in church, Jesus was sitting there watching how much they were giving. He pays attention to what we were giving because it's important. How you give is also important. Because everyone walking in was giving, and Jesus says, well, they're giving out of their surplus. This lady, she gave out of what she didn't have. She gave everything she had. And notice, he didn't stop her. When you think about that, I've been guilty of this. When people have come to contribute something, and I'll say, I know that's tight for you. Don't give towards that. And you look back on it and then see in this situation, and there's a realization in me that, you know, I was stopping them from receiving a blessing. He never said that she can't afford that. Don't let her put that in there. She got to go buy some food. Because he knew the Father was going to take care of all the needs. He paid attention to what they give. He doesn't stop us when we don't think we can afford it. What did he do? He praised her for it. He said, look at what she did. She gave all that she had for the kingdom. Being a generous giver is not supposed to be easy. If what we give is easy to write a check for or do a donation for, if it's easy, well, that's just being religious. Generosity is supposed to be hard. It is supposed to be sacrificial. When is the last time you gave sacrificially? And I'm not talking about where it just kind of hurts because it's your money you're giving away. I'm talking about where it really makes a dent. Like this is painful to give. Like this widow. When is the last time we gave sacrificially? I want to be clear today. I am going to ask you to be generous. And it's not because the church needs your money. We don't. Our church is in a fine financial position. Are there things we need? Sure. Would we love to be able to build a new building sometime soon? Absolutely. But we are meeting our obligations there. We don't need your money. But I'm going to ask you to be generous because it changes who you are. If you are not all bought in to Northview Church, and if you don't believe in our vision, if you don't believe in the direction we're going as a church, if you have questions about our integrity, do not give to this church. We will find a place to help you where you can sow your money and be a part of that church because it's not about your finances, it's about your heart. Generosity does not make sense. When we are giving above what we feel like we can afford to give, it makes absolutely no sense. But it is who we are. It's who God's called us to be. We are the church. We have been called to be generous people. And when we combine our generosity, our resources, we can make a greater impact than we ever could with that $10 you're going to give on your own. Just look at the church in Acts chapter 2 when they combined everything that they had and met the needs of everyone who had needs. We are the church. And because of your generosity, impact is made in the community. Just this week, I pull in here this past week, one of the days we were having a sacred assembly. I'm pulling around the back, and there's a car parked in the back, and I'm like, uh-oh, somebody's doing something they shouldn't do. And the lady that's in the car jumps out immediately. She sees me coming. She's like, I promise I'm not doing anything bad back here. And she introduced herself. Her name was Angie. And she said, I'm just back here. I'm just got to town, coming out of an abusive relationship. And sometimes, you know, people will tell us these things, and there's some skepticism that comes on my part and some other parts. But this lady, I could just tell, I think she was being really genuine. And she's like, all I'm doing back here is I'm trying to make myself look better. I'm going for a job interview up here at one of the stores on Highway 66. She never asked for anything. But she starts talking about all the struggle that she's got going on. And she just mentions, you know, do you know anybody that there's a food pantry around here? And I'm like, I don't. We have some food pantries in Kodak, but they're only open a couple of days a month. There's not one close by that's open right now, but I got some Food City gift cards inside. Let me go get them for you. And she was so thankful because not only could she get a few groceries to feed herself before she started this job, she could put a little gas in her car at Food City too. It's because you're generous. That you bought those Food City gift cards. You are the reason we could meet that one small need. Your generosity is why we get to support foster children in this county. The small amount that we give makes a dent in how foster children enter foster care. Because of your generosity. Your generosity makes a small change in women who are in crisis pregnancies. Because you give, we're able to support women at the Women's Pregnancy Center. Because you give, we are able to help support rescuing children from domestic minor sex trafficking. Because you give. Because you give, we are able to support a new church in North Carolina that is pouring into a college campus with students who need to hear the gospel. Because you give. Because you give, we fund a kids ministry here that in the last year has grown over 25%, reaching more kids. Because you are generous. Because you give, we are able to fund a youth ministry that I see students' lives being changed all year long. Students being discipled, students coming to know Jesus, students being baptized because of your generosity. Because you give, we have a future for this church. We don't know what it looks like, but God does. And it's because of your generosity that the future of this congregation is secure. But most importantly, because you give, you are being made into the image of Jesus Christ. You are being formed into a generous person that mirrors Jesus Christ. We are generous with all that we have. It isn't just our money. We are generous with our time. We are generous with our talents. Are you? Do you have time and talents that nobody knows about and you need to be serving using those talents, giving that time? We are generous with our stuff. You know, me and Christy are as guilty as this as anybody else. We'll have stuff that we don't use anymore. So we throw it up, sell it, get $5-$10 for it. But that could mean so much to a kid who's not going to have Christmas this year. We could just say, hey, anybody that needs this, it's free. Just let me know. Those few dollars don't make any difference to us. We can be generous with our stuff, donate our stuff. We are generous with our finances. However God has blessed you, are you generous with how He has blessed you? Do you give, and do you go beyond giving into the realm of generosity? I want to challenge you to become a generous giver. I'm going to challenge you to give 10. Maybe you've never given before. I want to challenge you to give a $10 bill or a $10 text message, however it works for you. $10. See what impact $10 makes. I'm challenging you this week, give $10 today. But maybe you are a giver and you give regularly. Maybe you tithe. I'm going to challenge you to give 10% more. If you give $50 a month, that would be $5. If you give $1,000 a month, that'd be $100. Christy and I, we've made that commitment. We are going to give 10% more. I'm asking you to do it for the next 90 days. We've told you, me and Craig, without approval from any of the other elders, so we might not be elders if you all follow through on this. And that's okay, because we both feel like God was leading us to do this. A 90-day money-back guarantee. Most churches would never even think twice about doing that. But we are telling you that if in 90 days God has not blessed you, tell us. We'll write you a check for the tithe that you've given over those 90 days. See how God will bless you. It isn't always financial blessings. Sometimes it's just the joy that we get. He will meet your needs. He does not always meet your wants. And maybe you're like, well, I don't have a lot to give. Ephesians 3:20. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. He takes a little and he does something miraculous with it.